When Jeremiah wrote, of course, the people of the nation of Judah, Israel was on the brink of falling to the Babylonians. Jeremiah's I'm a preacher. He wanted to quit. I will tell you, there's been more than once I seriously thought about it. I kind of thought it might be time to quit. I won't say any time in the last 20 years, but I've thought about it. You know, I mean, have you? Have you ever thought about on your job or whatever, just, man, I'm up to here with it? But, you know, somehow, if you're like me, you've developed that horrible habit of eating and wanting a roof over your head, so you kind of don't quit necessarily. But we've all, I would think, thought and had those days, or maybe those weeks, or those times where, you know, we're just not up. You know, in fact, we're primarily pretty much down. And Jeremiah, you know, he was kind of in the doldrums. He definitely wasn't in an upswing at this point in time. If you look back at chapter 9 and you begin at verse 3, we read through and going verse 8, he wasn't very complimentary of his own people. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They've taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them, for how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. He just really wasn't in a good point, a good spot in his life, and he was believing that he needed to get out of this business. You heard what Mike read a minute ago from chapter 9, verse 2. I just wish I had a little inn for travelers out in the wilderness, and I would just open myself the roadside motel and get away from all this stuff. I mean, he was ready to go, and he felt like God had deceived him. That God, you've deceived me, and you've tricked me into preaching your word, and when I do, I get nothing but insults and trial and trouble and tribulation and trauma, and I'm fed up with it. This is a picture of a man who is most definitely down. So how did he keep going? Because he did. In fact, his prophetic ministry lasted at least 40 years. How did he manage that? Well, verse 9 that you heard a minute ago of chapter 20. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Now, are preachers the only folks that have these ups and downs? I don't think so. Is it normal? Seems to me. It seems to be pretty much part of what we call the human experience. You know, everybody, no one, for the most part, is just up every day, every minute of every day. You know, we have difficult times. Well, what causes that? It can be a variety of things. And so, you know, I ask the question, you know, can I be up all the time? And then is it wrong if I'm down all the time? You know, somewhere in the middle, there's got to be a happiness, contentment, peace, and life. You know, you remember the VBS song, the little kid's song, you know, there was, if I was a king, he had 1,000 men, he marched from the hill. And when you're up, you're up. And when you're down, you're down. Well, that's pretty much the way life is. You know, when you're up, you're up. When you're down, you're down. Of course, when you're only halfway up, you're neither one, but that's the song. The point is, we all get down, and hopefully we all get up. There's times, though, when the morale in our life is low, and what do we do about it? Do we just jump all over ourselves and condemn ourselves and just figure we're not what we ought to be and we're just not a good person? And how do we deal with the times when life is down for us, when the morale is a tad low? Well, just let me offer a very few suggestions over the next few minutes. I don't plan to be up here very long. I don't know that you can be, you know, churched out, but I figure there are several people that have probably felt like they've been in this building and in this room in particular enough the last couple of 3 days, so I don't want to keep you a whole long time tonight, but we need to realize that when we're down, it's normal. It's a part of life. You recall 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation is overtaken you that is not common to man, but Paul, by inspiration, goes on to say that God is faithful and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to bear. And on top of that, with every difficulty, with every temptation that comes along, God will provide a way of escape. Now, that escape is not always easy to see. But the idea is there are going to be times in my life when it's tough, when my morale may be low, when I'm going to be down. That's normal. There's no one that's made it through this life that hadn't had something like that at some point. And when the temptation to give up is there, realize everybody faces that at some point. And if I look hard enough, with God's help, I'll find the escape from that. And like Jeremiah, I'll keep on going. See, it's not the fact that I'm down. That's not really the problem. The issue comes in with how do I deal with it? What is my reaction to being in one of those low places in my life? That's what makes all the difference in the world. And to start with, I need to realize that it doesn't make me a bad person just because I'm having a tough time. It doesn't mean something's necessarily wrong with me, because we all go through those down times from time to time. So first, realize, first reaction, know that that's normal. Secondly, understand that that's not permanent. You know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, do not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The only way that I'm going to lose in the long run is if I just quit, if I give up. Paul, by inspiration, says, keep going, keep sowing, keep planting the seed, keep doing what you do, keep doing what's right. Well, I don't feel it, just keep doing it. And the promise is that if I do, I will ultimately reap if I don't give up. And if you just back up a couple of verses there in Galatians 6 and you look at verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap. So I will reap. But there are a couple of rules about reaping. One is, I'm going to reap what I sow. And so if I continue to just wallow around in those down times, then if I'm not careful, I'm going to reap that kind of that negative attitude, that poor outlook on life, and I'm going to try to be miserable. May not think I'm doing that consciously, but I know people that seem to be happier when they're miserable than when they're happy, and I've quite understood that, but that seems to be the way some people operate. I need to make sure that whatever I'm sowing, that's what I'm going to reap. So even when I'm feeling down, I need to do the best I can to continue pushing, to continue sowing something positive, because eventually I'm going to reap, and I'm going to reap what I sow. But here's the good news: if I'm sowing the right thing, I'm going to reap more than I sow. Because if I didn't, we'd have starved to death a long time ago. Because if a farmer had to plant one kernel of corn to harvest one kernel of corn, we would starve. But you can plant that one kernel of corn, and under the right conditions on most corn stalks, it will grow two ears, and each of those ears will have, I counted them years ago when I had Silver Queen in the garden. I don't remember. Anyway, if I recall, both ears together was over 1,000. It was a lot. Anyway, a whole bunch of kernels. And I've told you this before, but if you ever want to get in a little contest with somebody, tell them that for every ear of corn they shuck that has an uneven number of rows, you'll give them a dollar, and they give you a dollar for everyone that has an even number of rows. Go home and count on your corn one of these days, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, they all have even number of rows. The point is that, you know, we are going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap more than we sow. But here's what I need to remember. It's true in physical farming. It's true in spiritual farming. And it's true when I need to get myself out of the doldrums. I'm going to reap later than I sow. You know, I've been waiting, just trying, hoping for the warm weather like we're getting now, dry enough, but then the right kind of rain, so I can put some seed in the ground and plant some food plots that hopefully will, you know, keep some deer and track them and so on and get them healthy and all that good stuff, you know, or farmers that plant their crops. But I know when I put that seed in the ground, I'm not going to go back tomorrow and it's going to be grown. It don't work that way. When it comes in, and if I'm planting something that I want to reap, that I want to harvest, like when Greg, here later in this week, as I understand it right, is going to put in the garden, he's not going to plant that Friday or Saturday and go back next Monday and start picking tomatoes, you know, or picking beans or whatever. It don't work that way. Lord willing, we will plant, we will reap whatever's planted out there. But it's always going to be harvested later than it's planted. So when times are difficult, don't give up. Be patient. Trust God and His laws. Know that the downs are normal. Know that they are not permanent. I keep trying to sow good things. I will eventually reap those good things. And then remember that those down times, they have a positive side to them too. Because among other, well, usually it's when I learn, but it's also they help to provide contrast. Now, apparently times have changed, because years ago, if you went in a jewelry store, typically diamonds were displayed against a black velvet background because it made them, they showed up better against the dark background. I've noticed in most stores now it's kind of an ivory-colored thing, but typically, you know, the shimmer of the diamond looked greater contrasted with the dark behind it. If I never have hard times, if I'm never down, how am I ever going to appreciate when things are going great? You know, I might not have that kind of... So downs provide contrast. And they help me to understand and appreciate the blessings that God gives me all the time. You know, I look at poor old Job. You talk about a man who had down times, but he had a great appreciation for the blessings that God gives as well. But then finally, downs are normal. They're not permanent. They help me to understand when times are good. They provide a contrast. And fourth, they are not the end of the story. How many times have you been watching a football game and your team is down at halftime and they rally in the second half and win the game? Or basketball, or whatever the athletic endeavor is. You know, partway through, it looks like, oh my, they're just down, they're low. They come back, they get fired up, and they end up winning the game. The downs are not the end of the picture. You think about Paul, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Paul had times he was down, but he was never out. He may have been knocked to the canvas a time or two by life, but he never got knocked out. He always got back up. He understood that the difficulties are just part of life. Learn from them, gain wisdom from them, and keep on moving. It's not a crime to get down. Don't ever feel like somehow because things are just not, I'm just struggling a bit, that somehow you're a weak person or something. No, it's not a crime to be down, but just don't stay there. Just don't stay that way. Keep sowing. Keep believing. Understand they're not going to last forever. Be appreciative of the contrast they give, and know that it is not the end of the story. Accept those downtimes, because they're real, but they're not necessarily fatal. I need to try to understand them. You know, if you look at successful people out there, you know, these folks that are now multi-billionaires, I guess, and what the world would call successful, or you look in the Lord's church, more importantly, and you see heroes of faith, men and women that are successful in their walk with Christ, you think they never had a hard time? You think they never had down times in their life? Of course they did. The downs never stopped a successful person, because the person that stopped when they got down never made it to be successful. So every successful person has overcome those down times. I can do the same. Whether it's sports, a career, a marriage, or my Christian life, all of those are going to have down times. We keep persisting. We keep moving. We keep planting the right seed. And in every case, with God's help, we'll get out of them. We'll climb that ladder, and we'll be back in the sunshine, and things will be even better, because I will have a greater appreciation for the good things that God gives me because of maybe that momentary time when I kind of questioned where those good things were. Ask anybody that's been married for 50 years, which, by the way, June 3rd will be ours. 50 years. Ask anybody that's been married. Not that I'm asking for gifts or anything, but I just thought I'd throw it up. But anyway, ask anybody that's been married for 50 years if they've ever had any problems. You will either get a yes or you're talking to a liar. I mean, that's pretty much the two options right there. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. Now, there may not be serious problems, but there's going to be problems. You know, there's going to be times when you first start out, when you were so broke, you know, as my dad used to say, we were broker than Job's turkey and had to lean up against the fence to gobble. And I don't even know what that means. I didn't even know Job had a turkey. But the point is, it's one of those things, you know, one of those old sayings that folks had that I heard a lot when I was growing up. But, you know, everybody's going to have those hard times. But when they've overcome them, we can be successful. Ask any Christian if he's ever had any difficult times with his faith, if he's ever had those down times where maybe the presence of God wasn't quite as obvious to him as he would have liked or she would have liked. Most everybody's had that too. But they're here. You're here, faithfully serving God. Bottom line is, it's a choice. I'm not talking about clinical depression. This is not at all what I'm doing. I'm not talking about a medical condition. I'm talking about just being down when our morale is low. I have a choice, and I need to make the choice to be up. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. If I will focus as best I can on those positive attributes that God gives into the life of every child of God, the downtimes will be fewer and farther between, perhaps not quite as deep and not quite as dark. But understand, when they come, that just means I'm a human being striving to serve God in a world that doesn't. Know that He's on our side, and that He has promised, I will provide a way of escape. Look for it and make the choice to climb out and be up. Perhaps there's someone here this afternoon that could use prayer for whatever reason, whether there's a struggle going on or whatever it might be. That's one reason we're here. Haven't talked about how to become a child of God, but as you saw and witnessed this morning with Nathan, if I have not yet been immersed in water for the forgiveness of my sin, then I haven't been added to the body of Christ, which is the church, Acts 2:47. And so therefore, I'm outside the family of God, again, which is the church, 1 Timothy 3:15. And I need to do something about that. If you were here this morning and you witnessed that event, you realize it's not some sort of weird cultish practice, or it's not some sort of grandiose show. No, it's a very simple confession of faith and a beautiful picture of one putting to death the man of sin with a penitent heart, burying him in the waters of baptism, and then rising as a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ Jesus. If we need to do that, that invitation, that opportunity is available as well. Whatever is needed, if a response would help, come down front while we stand and sing.